Amen. I invite you this morning to please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. A couple of Christmases ago, I was talking with an extended family member that I had not seen in some time, and I asked her where she was attending church, and she replied that she was now attending church online. Melody, my wife, was talking with a friend of hers who shared a story that one of her family members told her that he now preferred going to church online rather than in person. It's now become the norm for churches to stream their services online with all the developments in technology. And this is a ministry platform that is not going to go away, but churches are going to continue to think through how to best utilize technology for the spread of the gospel. But with the rise in advancements in technology, people are really asking this question now: why go to church in person when I can watch online? Considering the pandemic that we've been faced with and many church members who are now staying home to watch their services streamed online, I think it's a good time in our church's history at this point to look at what the New Testament has to say to us about this matter. The title of my sermon this morning is "The Church: Must We Gather?" We're going to look at several different New Testament texts this morning, and we're going to carry it over to next Sunday to look at this critical question, and I do believe it's a very important question that we as Christians need to think through and that churches need to think through in general. And I believe the text that we're going to look at, we're going to see this main message: that gathering together is not an optional, but an essential element of what it means to be the New Testament Church of Jesus Christ. Gathering together is not an optional, but an essential element of what it means to be the Church of Jesus Christ. In other words, virtual attendance cannot substitute for actual attendance. Watching online should never replace permanently gathering together in person. We're going to look at several texts in the New Testament which I believe make this case for us as a church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to jump into this message this morning. Father, we pray for open ears. God, we pray for open eyes. God, we want to be a church that is faithful to how the church is explained to us in the New Testament. Jesus, we belong to you. Every New Testament church belongs to you. So may you teach us this morning what it looks like to be the Church of Jesus Christ. And we ask it in your matchless name. Amen. So what we see in the New Testament is that gathering together is not optional, but it's an essential element of what it means to be the New Testament Church of Jesus Christ. First of all, I want to point your attention to this point which evidences this truth. The New Testament term for church underscores the essentiality that the Church of Jesus Christ must regularly meet. The New Testament term for church underscores this essential element of meeting together. Let's look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy. Paul is writing this letter, and he says, "To the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace." So we see this word church that appears in 1 Thessalonians 1:1. Throughout the New Testament, this word church, which translates from a Greek word you've probably heard before, ekklesia, it appears 114 times in the New Testament. In the book of Acts, two of those instances refer to an unruly mob. Another instance refers to a legislative body. And there are two other instances in the New Testament which refer to Old Testament Israel when they assembled together. The other 109 instances that occur in the New Testament, This word is used as a technical designation for the Christian church. Now, importantly, this word ecclesia, its lexical meaning, its definition refers to an assembly. It refers to an assembly of Christians. When Paul wrote to the church of the Thessalonians, he was speaking of this body of baptized believers. Now, let me stop right there. Not just any kind of assembly, but this body of baptized believers, men and women who had heard the gospel. They understood the bad news. There's one true God that they had sinned against. There's a coming judgment, and the penalty for their sin against God is an eternal hell, separation from God for all of eternity. They understood the good news. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever will believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. They knew Jesus was God's son who took on flesh, lived a sinless life, died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, and he came back from the dead 3 days later. And they turned from their sin. They trusted in Christ. That's the gospel they heard. And look at how Paul designates this church to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They're this group of this body of baptized believers. They've trusted in Christ, turned from sin. They've been baptized. They're now the called out people of God in Christ Jesus. And this is what they did. According to the word church here, as we understand its meaning, they covenanted formally. They entered into agreement to establish themselves as an assembly, as a church, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to observe the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper, to fellowship together, to fulfill the mission, the great commission that Jesus has given us to worship God. They covenanted together to regularly meet. Thus, a New Testament church, according to the meaning and usage in the New Testament, it refers to an assembly. It refers to a congregation. It refers to a gathering that regularly meets together. When you read about the church of the Thessalonians, or the churches of Galatia, or the church of God which is in Corinth, and so on throughout the New Testament, I want you to think of real, local, physical assemblies, Christians coming together for an intentional purpose of being the church in that location. This word does not refer to metaphorical or symbolical or invisible meetings. It's not used that way in the New Testament. So let me give you an illustration to try to help you see where I'm going with this. All of you over here, how do you like the shorts I'm wearing this morning? Let me ask all of y'all, what do you think about my shorts? I got them from Joseph A. Banks. They're really comfortable shorts. I think all of the men here, you need to go to Joseph A. Banks. You need to try to find you some shorts like this. I think you would look good in them. Now, my son's in worship this morning, and he's probably thinking, Daddy, those are not shorts. And we all know that these aren't shorts. We know that they're suit pants. I've got on pants. How do we know that? Because we know shorts have a clear definition as to what they are. We know pants, there's a clear definition to what pants are. I can't just infuse a meaning into these that they don't really have. Shorts are shorts, pants are pants. Now stay with me here. Jesus and the New Testament writers give us a clear understanding of what a church is. So we don't have a right to give it a meaning as to something that it is not. See, if we speak about going to church online or being the online church, we're actually speaking in an oxymoron. We're talking about a non-assembling assembly. Does that make sense? An assembly that doesn't assemble. But in the New Testament, the way this term is used, and the definition that it has lexically, it refers to a body of believers that regularly, actually, physically met in a location. Listen, watching a service online, it doesn't substitute for gathering in person. We cannot get to that point where we ever try to reinvent the term that Jesus and the New Testament apostles have already clearly defined for us. So what's the application point this morning? And just thinking about the New Testament term underscoring the essentiality of God's people meeting together. Let's just be clear about what a church is. Let's don't confuse people about what church is and what church is not. A local church actually meets together. That's what it means to be the church of Jesus Christ. That is one of the essential elements. When we watch a service online, we've had a time of encouragement. And I'm thankful that we have these advancements in technology, because during this pandemic, we've had some people who are, they have compromised immune systems. They're not able to get out, and we're grateful to be able to provide a time of encouragement so that they can sing and they can hear the word of God preached. I'm thankful for the shut-ins who are not able to get out because of other physical or circumstantial situations. We need to use this platform, I think, to reach out and connect the people who don't know God and who are not church to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But our goal should never be to use online to substitute for in person. We want to get people who are watching online into the body of Christ, gathering locally with a local church. So here's something you can do when you're talking with a friend, or maybe you've got a college student that is out of the house right now, they're at school, and they're watching church online, and they're fully capable of going to church. You need to try to steer that conversation with your student or your friend or another family member or a coworker to say, hey, it's great that you're watching, but have you considered about attending? Have you considered becoming a part of that body? And then you can talk to them, because the New Testament word for church refers to a real physical assembly of believers. So first of all, the New Testament term for church underscores the essentiality of the church of God regularly meeting together. Number two, look in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, and we'll look at verses 15 through 20. The second piece of evidence I would submit this morning is that Jesus' expectation underscores the essentiality that the church of Jesus Christ regularly meets. In the Gospel of Matthew, in two instances, Jesus uses the word church, and he refers to the church. In Matthew 16, where Peter has this watershed moment and confesses that he is the Christ, and where Jesus declares that he will build his church. And then in Matthew chapter 18, here in this passage, Jesus is specifically dealing with the discipline we call of church discipline. Let's say, for example, in the church, you have a member of that church who goes on in unrepentant sin. The church has to have a way of dealing with that. And so Jesus gives us a paradigm. He starts out in verse 15, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you've won your brother. So you always deal with it in private first to try to bring the sinning, erring brother back to repentance and restoration for God, with God. Verse 16, but if he doesn't listen to you, you went in private. He says, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. So you're supposed to go back with one or two others, and you want to establish by testimony, hey, we've reached out to this brother. We're trying to correct his way. Maybe he's living in some kind of sexual sin, and he's not willing to turn from it. We've appealed to him in Christ to renounce the sin and get right with God, but he refuses. Then Jesus says, you go to the third step. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. So Jesus is saying, if the private and then the small group doesn't work, you bring it before the body of Christ, you make this sin known, the church reaches out to this person, they still won't listen, then the church is to do what we call excommunicate that member, remove fellowship from that sinning brother or sister. Now, what I want you to see here is that Jesus has a built-in way of dealing with sin among his people. And what is that way? We ultimately are to, at some point, if sin persists, we tell it to the church. See, Jesus is assuming something, that his people, wherever they're located, they're going to be regularly meeting. And there's going to be this opportunity for us to bring these matters before the local congregation. And then we see that Jesus says in verse 20, for where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. You know what Jesus is talking about here? He's not talking about a small group Bible study. He's not talking about a prayer meeting. In the context of this passage, he's talking about a local church meeting. A local church can be as small as two people or three people. And Jesus is saying, whatever my people do, according to Scripture, if you're doing it, this following this process and you have to remove someone, look at what Jesus says. There I am in your midst. What you've done on earth has been ratified by my Father in heaven. But look at what Jesus says, where two or three have gathered together in my name. Jesus, again, is showing us the expectation that his people will be physically coming together. One time I knew my dad's expectations for me when it came to my curfew. But I'm telling you, I was dating a girl in high school and I wanted to stay out later than what my curfew was. So I came up with this ingenious plan that I thought would work. And so I ended up staying out later than what I was allowed to stay out. Man, I had it worked out. I drove into the driveway. I think I turned my lights off before I got to the curb where I was turning in. You know, I was real quiet getting out of the truck and getting into the house. I got in bed, and you believe this? I mean, I had all my clothes on, and I undressed under the covers. You know, I was trying to do everything in secrecy, just hoping, you know, this is going to work. And, man, I thought it worked. You know, I ended up sleeping and made it through the night. And I kid you not, when I rolled over and opened my eyes, my dad was looking right down upon me. He said, Donald, where were you at last night? I know what you did. And I had all this excuse, this great story that I had worked up on how I could do something other than what he expected. And I'm telling you, it didn't work out for me. It didn't, man. There were consequences. I got punished for doing something my way rather than my dad's way. Jesus' teachings about the local church, they're clear. He expects his people to gather together. Sure, we can use technology in a way to try to get the gospel out, but let's don't ever think we have a better way of doing church than what Jesus already teaches us and expects of us as his people. Jesus expects us in our local churches, wherever we are placed, to gather regularly with his body. We're wrong and we're going to utterly fail. There are going to be consequences. And there are some pastors today who are flirting with doing this, redefining the church, and we don't want to go there as the people of God. Let's use technology for the glory of God, but let's don't redefine what it means to be the local church. The New Testament term church, it underscores the essentiality that the church of Jesus Christ regularly gathers together. Jesus' expectation underscores the essentiality that the church of Jesus Christ regularly gathers together. And then last of all, let's look in Hebrews chapter 10. This morning, Hebrews chapter 10. We'll look in verses 23 through 25. I submit this third point this morning. The prohibition in Hebrews underscores the essentiality that the church of Jesus Christ must regularly gather together. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And then the writer of Hebrews says, let's consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. What can we do to provoke in one another those qualities of loving God and loving others and doing what is right according to the will of God? And then look in verse 25, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Some Christians in this church to which the writer of Hebrews is writing, they were in this habit of forsaking. This word forsaking, it has a variety of definitions. It can mean to abandon, to separate, to desert, to cease from doing something. It can give the idea of neglecting something. What were they neglecting? Well, it's very clear what they were neglecting. They were neglecting assembling. Some Christians were being faithful to come together when their church was assembled, and others were, for whatever reasons, that they were not coming together with their local church. And the writer of Hebrews has something to say about this. This is not a take it or leave it option in life. This is something that is essential, and he puts down a prohibition. Stop your forsaking of the church. Stop the neglecting of attending with the local body. Does it get any plainer for us as the people of God that we are not to get into the habit of not coming together as the local church? The writer of Hebrews, he rebukes his readers and these Christians for not assembling. A couple of months ago, I saw a meme that was put out on social media that really made me think within the context of the COVID situation that we've been dealing with. The meme said this: the danger in missing church is getting to where you don't miss the church. Let that sink in. The danger in missing church is getting to where you don't miss the church. A pastor in the Texas area, he was talking about the importance of assembling with your local body, and this started a thread on Twitter. And one gentleman, young guy, he got on, and this is what he said. He said, "Believe me," he said, "the last few months have been horrible for my spiritual health. The most charitable way to put it is it would be my spiritual health and growth have felt like one step forward and two steps back. He said, however, I trust that since Jesus bled and died for me, he will not abandon me now." Another woman, she got on and followed him, and she said, "I feel that." She said, "I just found an open church in my area 2 weeks ago." And she says, "It's so wonderful to be back together assembling in church." Let me ask you, Lakeland Baptist, let me ask some of you who are watching, are you perfectly capable of being here? There are no serious health threats for you, but there's something that has crept into your life to where your commitment to the church is not in place as it should be. Maybe it's a job commitment, maybe it's children, maybe it's sleep. You just think you got too much going on and Sundays are your day to sleep instead of gathering with the body of Christ. Are there other commitments? I just plead with you this morning because I love you and I care about your spiritual health and I want the best for you in Jesus Christ. Will you renew your commitment to gather with the church? If you're not a part of a local church, will you consider joining Lakeland Baptist? If you're watching online and you could be here, but there are other things that you're just saying are more important, I'd rather tune in than show up, will you consider coming and becoming a part of this body and doing church the way Jesus tells us to do it, the way the New Testament calls us to do it, assembling together? We stopped meeting as a church back in March when the COVID situation, what was just scary to everyone, we didn't know what was coming next. We wanted to do what we could to submit to governing authorities who were asking large groups not to attend. And so we didn't have church for several months. We were providing a service online for us to sing together, to have an encouraging word from the scriptures. And I spoke with many of you over that time frame. And one of the things I kept hearing from you is that this is just not the same. It's just not the same watching as it is as being together. I was saying the same thing. I was feeling it in my heart. I missed gathering with you, and you missed gathering with the rest of the body here at Lakeland Baptist Church. And do you know why we felt that way? Because it's just not the same. Christ has created us for fellowship with him and each other. He's created us to be a local church, to come together and to meet regularly. Coming together, it's not an optional element for the church of Jesus Christ. It is an essential element of what it means to be a true church. So this morning, let me ask you, what do you need to do in light of this message? Is there someone that you need to reach out to who's becoming more and more disconnected? And you need to say, hey, assemble with us, come back to church. I want to encourage you, if there's someone you haven't seen in a while, it's hard to keep up with everyone, will you give them a call? Will you check on them and encourage them to come back? Maybe you've got someone who is committed now to saying, I'm going to do online rather than in person moving forward. Help them to see what the New Testament says about that and that you're concerned about their spiritual health. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't belong to a church family. We want to talk with you about what it would look like for you to become a part of our church. And maybe you have never given your life to Jesus Christ. As I explained the gospel earlier in this sermon, you didn't realize that you were cut off from God and you're in danger of eternal separation, and that Jesus loved you and died for you, and he invites you to turn from your sin and trust in him. We want to give you that opportunity to make that decision this morning. Whatever you need to do, if you're watching online and you need help and you need some follow through, just text the word decision to the number at the bottom of the screen and we will get in touch with you. Whatever you need to do, will you do it this morning? Will you please bow with me? Father, thank you for allowing us to look through the New Testament this Sunday to see what the Scripture teaches us about the essentiality of gathering together, meeting, congregating as a local New Testament church. God, I thank you for this body of believers, those who are so faithful to you. And we know, God, we have some who are not able to be with us, God, because of circumstances in their life that prevent it, or God, because of health compromises right now, but we're asking you to encourage them. And God, if at all possible, God, reverse their situations, enable them to be able to gather with us again. God, we know that this is important for our own spiritual health. God, for us, because we love each other and you've made us a body together. So God, work in our hearts this morning. God, bless those who attend Lakeland Baptist Church. God, increase those who are a part of this church, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.